Right now, we're all set.
I call this regular session of the employee council meeting Wednesday, February 13th, to order. Let's do roll call. Yvonne Ward?
Here.
Allison Williams?
Present.
Jay Ritchie?
Here.
Andrew DeFord?
Here.
Ramon Barone?
Here.
Daniel Dushan?
Here.
Nina Williams? And I'd like to thank our guests from the Civil Service Commission for coming, Kim Budge and Nancy Jacobson. The following items will be discussed, considered, and/or decided upon at this meeting. Discussion and approval of the minutes of the January 9th, 2019 special session of the employee council. Do I have a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes of the November 14th, 2018 meeting of the employee council.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Discussion and possible recommendation to council on employee sick leave donation or sick leave bank policy. Dan?
That was requested to be on the agenda. I can draft something up for you guys. We do have the other 12 on deck that I was going to mention in item 5, but I'm open to it. It depends what you guys really want. There's a lot of different, I guess, mediums to do it, whether it's a donation or it's to a specific person. When they run out of leave, they can request it. Or a sick leave bank is where it's not a certain person. It's just everybody contributes, and it's mandatory. And then when a person meets the preset requirements, then they can have access to it. I've seen organizations do it both ways. It kind of depends what we want, what we think would be the best fit for us.
When you say mandatory, we open up and then every employee donates like 5 hours or something.
Well, let me rephrase that. I'm sorry, not mandatory, but once you're in, you're in. Like at hire or at 1 year, you would choose to join the bank, and then the contribution would be mandatory. Maybe, for example, 1 hour per.
So if you want to get it back, you would join in.
Yeah,
like,
you can't.
Like a co-op.
Yeah, like insurance. You can't get insurance when you get sick. You have to commit to it. That's what I meant by mandatory.
We're talking about taking sick leave that we accrue every single month, and that goes into the bank?
It would be the PTO. So
what,
yes,
kind of PTO?
Under the sick leave bank policy, if a person signs up for it, say, I want to be in the sick leave bank, so I would donate whatever the number we decide on, you know, 1 hour, a half an hour every payday, but everybody does that. And then when the one person needs it that's in the bank, they can have access to it. You know, you have to set the requirements, etc., as far as, you know, must be out of PTO, must be out of EIB, must be employed for a year, those type of things.
And that's my question in regards to that, is how often can it be used by one specific employee?
Right.
Because there's got to be some kind of regulation on that end.
Like a limit, and
yes,
this limit, 20 hours for
whatever the case may be,
40 hours for 1 year, or something like that.
But it does talk about donation.
Yeah, so there's two options.
And we don't have a policy in place yet for donating.
No.
No. Okay.
So donation would be a person runs out of sick leave, and then they say, you know,
we could opt to do,
yeah, donate. This specific employee is out of leave. You can donate from your leave to them directly.
I would rather move we go in that direction.
That's what I would rather do as well.
I'd rather do donation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two models there.
I mean, if,
as a case
if
by
we have
case
the motion,
basis.
Well, not you can't case by case it. It's either one or the other. You know, you have to either donate.
No, the use of, she's talking.
Oh,
use,
okay,
of,
yeah, yeah.
That,
okay.
If somebody said, my employee, like a boss said, a department head said, my employee needs an extra week for whatever reason. We get 3 days for bereavement, but that person needs 2 weeks. People could donate to that person to take extra time. That's what I mean by case,
right?
That you would know, you would identify the employee, identify the reason. I guess still have limits because that would make most sense, but that employees could contribute to the well-being and welfare of another employee,
right,
if needed.
But I don't think that it should just be limited to, if we have somebody who's really in need, like maybe they, you know, need food or something else, the department head could notify the HR or whoever is designated to say this is the need. It might not be even PTO, it's just an employee in need.
I think that's a different topic.
Yeah, this is specific to PTO.
This is just for PTO.
And part of it is, this was brought up because there are employees who aren't able to use all of their PTO, and because they're of the time limit of cash out, is that they have this time limit of being able to cash out, and then you apply for the extension, but at the end, if we can't cash out the PTO, we can't extend it, then it evaporates money that we've earned, essentially. And so what is another option to be able to use it to benefit somebody?
Yeah.
That's part of it, you know, because there are employees who simply have a large accrual and can't take that vacation time. So it's not just sick leave, they just actually can't use it. And if they can't cash it out, then what is the option?
I'd still rather do the bank than the, do the donation rather than the bank.
I think there's pros and cons to both. I've worked at places with one or the other, where you get the email that said this specific employee, you know, Jim Smith is out of leave, and everybody goes, oh, I love Jim, let me throw him a few hours. And the other side is where you get hired and they say, would you like to be part of the sick leave bank? You're going to donate 0.5 hours every paycheck, but when you need it and you meet these preset requirements, then you get it. It kind of takes the personal element out.
But would there be parameters set in place where, say, you leave, you haven't used it, it's there, you never get it back, or, you know... Or you cash it out.
But if you're employed... ten years and you've never used the bank, well, it's like having car insurance and never having to use it.
Yeah. So if we did the donation, what do we open up, like a PTO bank? Is that how it works? And then that kind of a line item or a place for it, and then people are able to donate?
With the bank, I'm going to assume finance would have some counting mechanism, and it'd probably be an item on the payroll, you know, so it'd show up as your accrued PTO, used PTO, and then donated to the bank.
I think that going for a bank and making it a requirement upon hiring and all of that, or buying in, is a much bigger discussion than today and a larger kind of agreement. But how this initially started is the ability to donate to another employee. I would really favor being able to do that.
I agree.
Sounds like you guys are leaning towards the
donation
upon need.
Yeah. When we look at, because PTO and sick leave are both in the same. There's no separation between the two. And maybe that's something we need to look at too, but we actually have PTO balance, which is your annual leave, and you have a sick leave balance, which is your sick leave. So this way, if you're sick and you actually get injured, say somebody gets injured on the job, they run out of their sick leave time. Now they're starting to use their PTO time. Those of us who wish to donate can donate our PTO time, not sick leave.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can't use our sick leave portion of it, but yet it's all the same here in this town. In the city of Bisbee, it's all the same. It's part of the same pool. So maybe we need to take a look at separating out sick leave and annual, or the PTO or annual leave.
Agreed.
To where sick leave, you're going to pick up no matter what, you're going to pick up 3.75 hours of sick leave per pay period, and you're going to pick up 3.75 hours of PTO time per pay period.
So just
and
being
the
able
sick
to
leave will never change. Your whole entire time that you're with the city, it'll always remain. If you're 25 years with the city, you're still going to only accrue 3.75 hours of sick leave. This way, there's a separation. And when we do those donations, now we actually can see, we can track, okay, do we have a person who earns and burns? Where the minute they get time, they burn it? Okay, well, that's somebody who we really need to take a look at. They're not even preparing themselves just in case a life event happens and they need donations.
Well, that's also part of the parameters of being able to take from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to regulate that portion of it so you don't have that. You know, somebody's taking advantage of our kindness, so to speak, of donating to the bank by constantly pulling from.
With the, you know, like I know when I got shoulder surgery and I was off and it didn't, I took what, a few days of PTO and then it went into the disability.
Yes.
And it was a real, that was treated wonderfully by the city on that. But of course, if your spouse was sick and you had to take the time off, you're not going to get that.
Yes.
And that's where these kind of things would work good.
So what you're suggesting is just limit to donating PTO.
PTO time. Because our biggest issue at the end of the year, when we come towards the end of the year, is staff who can't, especially like in our area or our department, you can't take time off.
Well,
so it might be
exactly.
beneficial for us to donate some of that PTO to somebody who's in need. But there has to be a differentiation between the sick leave and that annual leave or PTO time, to where there's a separation between the two. And we can actually track it. It's a lot easier to track it when you have it separated than one big pot for every single employee.
And
you know, because we're already taking, if I go out sick today, before I can even start taking sick leave or my sick time, I have to take 24 hours of my actual annual leave time, my vacation time, for being injured or getting sick.
Yeah.
You know. So, probably discussion for another day.
Yes, Mr. Budge.
Where I came from, we had kind of a dual system, which was, it's volunteer, but there's always there's a sick leave bank. You come up to the end of the year and you have user blues. Well, donate that to the sick leave bank if you're not good. Then there's always a bank. Somebody else gets sick, I'll throw in an hour. And so say 40 employees throw in 40 hours, but they only needed 8. There's still a pot there that could help whoever you're not, you know. The word should go out that somebody needs it, and then anybody else can put into the bank, you know, if they want to support it. But sometimes it's just that one day, and it's hard to go out and find enough people for. In other words, you can hold that bank. I know it's a liability to the city. You got to figure it out in your financials, but it shouldn't be too hard.
Is that possible, Dan, to do like a combo kind of deal, or is one or the other?
You guys can make the recommendation, and council can. You know, we can make our own policies here in the city, whatever we want.
If you donate to one person, and that's hard to manage because that one person may not use everything that's donated or may. So you have this pot that's there, and it may go up, it may go down, but it's all volunteer. Your only employees get to give into it, and then the usage is set up by, you know, very strict usage as you would. That was what I was thinking.
So you could set the caveats, you know, you need to be out of leave before you get a donation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you wanted to.
Well, I was just curious, would it be something like where you would put in your request to employee council and employee council approves it? Or would it be a department head?
No.
It would be
a little too
HR.
Subjective.
Yeah.
No
offense. Exactly.
Well, that's what I.
You just set parameters, and if you meet those parameters, you're able to draw back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then you get, well, so and so don't like me. Just a kind of.
And that's the thing, it has to be written in, what are those parameters, and you can't, there has to be a certain limit, you know, times used in the course of a year, a calendar year, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, events come up, but you're also taking away from the ability from other employees to be able to access that.
Right.
If one or two people are constantly using it, it's going to affect everybody else, because that time won't be there.
I mean, it sounds like Ken's idea. I like that too. I'm not sure if these are two separate things or adding or combining them. There's a bit of the donation to an individual and a bit of end of the year into a bank with access. I don't know how to ask you, Dan, like how we could write something up.
I could draft some ideas for you guys and kind of fill in the blanks.
If you
have
time to do that,
There's other cities and communities and organizations. DOC has a bank like that you don't have to create this template from the very beginning. You could, you know, go to
I steal
places.
A lot of my policies.
Well, just reuse.
Don't yell.
I would like to make a motion that we
request, it's a recommendation.
A recommendation that we ask HR to write some language that follows the lines of what we've discussed to look at on the next agenda. Is that Nina?
That's fine with me. Does anybody second that?
I will.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All the nays? The item will recommend that to HR then. Number three, discussion on working with the Civil Service Commission.
Welcome. since civil service was without a quorum for quite a while, and the way the charter has civil service and employee council, you know, from the beginning of the charter of the city, and the way these two work benefiting employees, I thought it would be really nice to meet you and to kind of have a brief overview of how you function within the city and with employees, and then also maybe if you have some institutional memory of how we could you know, reflect each other, not work together, how we could communicate together and to be mutually beneficial to issues that come up before the two councils. So, and also to me.
Well, you have some certain duties that we don't, and we have certain duties that you don't, but we share many of the same duties, especially the huge amount of rewrites that were just done. And, you know, I think in small groups, it's best that you do yours and bring them over to us. We said, well, we like this. They came back. That's I think, probably the proper way, because if you try to do it together, then it may be a little too much. And it's not like it's something that has to happen next week. I mean, these rules take a while to work their way through. So this new policy will come before you. You get what you want. You bring it to us. We'll see if there's something we would like changed, and then we'll take it back to you. And that's how the DRB and the planning and zoning have worked. You know, they have two separate duties, but they both kind of inter play together. And so that's why I kind of see us working. If there's one big thing that we should come together, then great. I had the two chairs just call a work session between both of us, and we can work together on one. But I don't see that maybe coming up right away.
That would be like a case by case thing.
Yeah, sure.
An issue.
But you know, since we both share a lot of the same duties and we both respect each other, but we're coming from two different angles in some ways. Okay, employees come from their wants and needs, and then civil service has to kind of look at it and say, well, I'm here for the employees, but I also have to realize I'm here for a bigger picture in some ways. Example, your use of came before us about being able to be paid out for your PTO, and you know, came before us. And my history was back when I was on council, and that first happened then. The finance director came to us and then the auditor, and they said, that's a real hard thing to budget and so on and so forth. So I wanted, my suggestion was to send it back and get that, you know, maybe it's easier, maybe it's different now. But those are the kinds of things that we may look at it differently than you may. I think we can work together, and what I would encourage any of the employees to do, if they can, because we're still down a couple of members, and it's a lot easier when you're not running on the one person's off, you don't get a quorum type thing. So if you can think of anybody else to ask that would want to volunteer, that would be great, because I'd like to see us be a full five-member board.
You're five.
Yeah. So.
So that's kind of what one of my, kind of what I wanted to be informed about was, like, so this PTO issue would also go before civil service, the language, and you guys would look at it from a different angle and come back, and so
back
there's
to
more
you
input.
And you can push it. We can push it to the, you know, final board. Of course, is mayor and council, because they're ultimately responsible for all the policies. So,
awesome.
I don't know what else. I'm throwing it open. If you have questions about us, I think you know what we do. The one that used to happen many years ago, and it's not in policy, but it was about job descriptions, and I know you guys deal with them, but we don't see them anymore. So I don't know if that's something that you would like to to think about and maybe send up policy up to mayor and council to say, well, part of the duties of the civil service is to also look at job descriptions. But, you know, if you need a job description right away, all these employee councils kind of slow down the system. So I just want to throw it out there. It used to be a courtesy thing that the job descriptions came before us.
I thought civil service did.
They don't, not, there's no policy, right?
No, it's not really written anywhere.
Back in my day, I remember it happening, but you know.
And I know we've chatted on this. I've struggled, and I think I try to. It's difficult to kind of explain what HR wants. Not that it all revolves around HR, but I think a good example is everybody, like the tourism manager, everybody wants to get involved with that, even council. But I'm going to create an analogy for the police department. Let's say council wanted a more or less strict stance on speeding or marijuana or this or that to guide the city. Council will guide that the enforcement of laws. It's the same job description. You know, a job description is just an HR function. It's just, you guys got to get out of the weeds. You know what I mean? If you want to change what tourism is doing in the city, yeah, let's do that. But are we going to talk about, should it be an associate's or bachelor's degree? If you guys want to get into it, it's going to take 3 months to get a job description. I'll do whatever you want.
No, there would have to be a situation before mayor and council to tell us things, because it's not in code, it's not in the elements. So I didn't know how everybody felt about it. Throwing it out there.
Yeah, before I became a city employee and went to council meetings, I was used to that. That was always the way it was done. And it seemed very functional because the commissions and boards are so important because they're volunteers. They're volunteer citizens, they're not employees. And so it adds this extra level of both help, work, and transparency, and input. And so I always thought that was a really good thing to have it go before, the job descriptions go before civil service, because we don't have emergency job descriptions for the most part. Because the truth is that, like in the instance of Jason, there wasn't that specific job description, but he was put in an interim job description that already existed, while civil service and council actually spent a lot of time on that.
And his pay band is completely made up. So it's like they left HR out of it, the person that should have been at the table.
Well, and that was when there was a different city manager and a different, there was not an HR director. There was a functioning assistant to HR,
yeah.
But it was a different parameters. That's why civil service was actually valuable at that time, because there wasn't an HR director. And so, I mean, it really is because it's mutable. The situation is flexible depending on who is in place within the structure of the government.
Well, in the code and charter, you have to have a personnel director.
Right, and it was right in I think they were acting or in two positions. But that, exactly. So, but anyways, I think it's a good idea to have that additional input, but I don't know how that works in terms of recommendations. Or.
One of the problems from an employee standpoint, my estimation is always the pay. Okay, where do they get slotted in? Because your job description hasn't changed in 10 years, and your pay didn't change in 10 years, but now the new one's great, and they're not this way, but wait a minute, their duties are no harder than mine.
Yeah, I think we were just talking our pay bands. We have 70 pay bands, and 25 of them start below minimum wage. So somebody's been asleep at the wheel for 15 years.
So that was always the one that we always struggled with, was, well, you're creating this new position, and he has no more responsibility than I have. I've been here 15 years.
Well, we just haven't got around to getting yours adjusted.
Yeah. It's part of it. Anyway, I don't know.
But that is work that civil service could help with. It's tasked with examining that and helping us evolve.
It's a true HR job, and that's what it needs to come out of. But you know, it's kind of like advising consent. I don't want any more duties.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys are here to
We'll keep other duties as assigned in there.
It's my favorite time.
You have any?
No, you were very good. Thank you.
Well, we thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's really nice to meet you.
Never fear, we can always make time for one more. If you'd like to come back and get something looming at us all.
We'll move on to item number four, update on Cochise Combined Trust. Dan?
Yes, so we've been talking about this for a while, and as of December, we've been accepted into the Cochise Combined Trust. That's a self-insured trust with Cochise County and Cochise College. I think they have 1,200 employees total, something like that, and almost 2,000 enrolled members. There are pros and cons to it. We presented, or the trust managers presented to the employee council before. I just wanted to go over some rates. I went to their annual conference 3 weeks ago, and they're going to be having, I don't know what it, the final rates are, and I have two handouts here. If they don't do a rate freeze, the rate increase will be maybe 1%. The history with our rates going up to the market, you know, we usually see single digits, you know, above 5 at least every year. Last year, I think we had 8. So that's part of the equation. I want to, the one form with the numbers, not the graphs. If you look at the part where it says health insurance premiums, I just want everybody to understand how this works. So if you look on the right column, the total is the total cost of the plan. So, and it's broken down. The city pays $498 per employee per plan, and that's per month. And we also have the cafeteria plan, which is a $67 a month stipend. And that third column, employee, that is what the employee contributes based on which plan they're in. So the total of the plans is, you know, $498, $904, $1,163, and $1,424. So that's what the health insurance plan costs per month. And then when you look above the current rates that the Cochise Combined Trust is offering and the difference, what kind of discount we could see there. You know, there are cons to a trust. If you join, you're in 3 years. If something happens with the market or the actuarials get something wrong, you're on the hook for it. It's not like United Health that year would just take a loss. You're on the hook. So there are pros and cons. I'm hoping to get finance and Carrie involved so she can kind of communicate the financial health of the trust from her perspective as well. So that is just the difference in the plans right there. And that's for this current year. So that's, if we join, that's what we're looking at. But the other part of the picture that I wanted to talk about was the what we call the employer-employee split of the health insurance, which is in that table. Right now, BSBY, if you look at the charts, I wasn't really sure about this until I did the research and was able to get the data for other cities and towns in the county. If you look at just the first graph, you know, the employee would pay 100% of their insurance, but it goes down by the time you're at a family plan. And the numbers are a little rough, forgive my Excel work here. It's because the cafeteria plan has the $67 buffer in there. So the city's only paying about 35%. And how we get there is the middle graph. If you look at BSBY, we pay this $498 for your health insurance per month per employee, no matter what your plan is. So it sounds equitable. And that's that red line, we're paying the same for everybody. But really what it's creating is, I hate to use a term, but it's a family fee. So if you want to work for the city of BSBY, you're going to be paying more. And when you look at what Douglas is doing, you know, they're, it's based on the percentage. So they pay 35% of everybody's fees. And if you look at Benson on the next page, you know, they pay, the percentage the employee's paying is one-third what our employees are paying. And when you look at, see, they have a tiered contribution rate. So what I found is that everybody else, well, not everybody, but majority of cities and towns in the county are our competitors for employees. They have this tiered contribution rate that we're not doing. So the BSBY, you know, it's $498 flat for everybody. Benson, it's tiered. So by the time you're a family plan, they're paying $832 per employee. Sierra Vista, tiered. By the time you're at a family, they're paying $830. Cochise County, and it's tiered, and by the time they're there, it's $888. So I just, that's going to be one of my budget requests to finance, that we change our contribution structure to a tiered, because frankly, I haven't seen, the more research I do, I haven't seen anybody charging family rates like we are. I've never seen anything like that.
I wondered. That's amazing. Yeah, that's a really...
And these are just examples in the county, because that's kind of our competitors for talent. But the examples go across the state like that.
So, in a way, though, these are separate. You're changing this, like making a request to go to tier.
Yeah,
is,
this internal is completely
internal,
separate.
And it doesn't affect whether we're in the CCT or in our current plan, right?
Correct.
The trust or this. But going to tiered makes it more viable in a way to decide which plan we go with.
Yes.
And when you say that it's more vulnerable, the trust, meaning it's vulnerable to like stock market and fluxes in the economy?
No, I mean it's vulnerable because let's say if you have more claims or more expensive claims, there is, I don't remember the term for it, but it's kind of like a stop loss insurance. So in 1 year, if they have a large amount of small claims, they're insured against it. And then in 1 year, if they have one or two extremely high claims, there's insurance on that. But it's not like United Healthcare where if, oh, we had a bunch of claims this year, so we didn't turn a profit. United Healthcare takes that loss. But in a trust, the trust takes that loss. And that's why it's important that Carrie be involved, and we've been talking, she knows about this, that when it goes to council, she can work with them and explain to them, you know, what her picture is of their financial, or her perception of their financial consultancy before. Because once you join, so you're in for 3 years, you can't just join for one. So on the HR side, you know, I met with the trust, I went to their planning. It's all bundled up and ready to go to council. They do hope to get an answer by the end of March to plan for July 1. So it's something we want. Hopefully we can do that. And I've been talking to Carrie, and everything on the HR side is ready to go.
So would you recommend another special session before the end of March? That with the new information from Carrie and
for the employee council?
Yeah.
We could get with her and she could present to you guys as well about her perception of the financial side.
Is that?
That's, yeah, that's fine with me. So.
Okay.
Are there any questions about the trust? I do want to point out that, you know, one of the other benefits is having a seat at the table. Right now there's two entities, and if we joined, we'd be the third. So we would get two seats. It's usually the city manager and the HR director that are appointed to that position. So with the county and the college, it's their executive and HR director that are on that are trustees of the trust. And they can pick and manipulate the plan to whatever fits the group. For example, when we go out to United Health, last year they, I think it was an 8 or 9% increase, and they go, and these co-pays are going up.
Yeah.
It's up to the market, we just take what they give us. With the trust, you know, I was in the meeting 3 weeks ago, and they do talk about the changes, and the only changes they've made is they've increased their ER co-pays and decreased the urgent care co-pays. Because they went over the data and they said, look, based on the X number of ER visits this trust has paid for, X percentage were avoidable and could have been treated at the urgent care or teledoc or something like that. So those are the type of changes that they make, or the level of change that they can make individually. So there's definitely two sides to it.
Does anybody have any questions or anything for Dan on that?
I say we go forward with it. I'm mean, as far as our department's concerned, we're all in. Let's do it. Because you don't take an additional loss to our paychecks when you have the 8% increase and the city can't pay for it. So now that cost gets thrown onto the employees on top of what you're already making. This is a different. So I think that's on our end, we're good to go. We don't need.
I really appreciate your looking at the tier. I can't afford to insure my daughter. It's a paycheck for me. It's half my pay, and this is super important for families and single moms. But for everybody, I mean, just looking at these other numbers, I mean, taking a look at that and adjusting Bisbee to better reflect. And I like what you said about, you know, our value as an employer, not just about, you know, the value to employees, but how we become more valuable as an employer to then attract more applicants. I really like that. Yeah.
So the trust is ready to go. I'll get with Carrie and see if he can present to you guys as well. And then Mr. Mayor's here. I think it's going to be whenever you guys are ready to hear it at council's level, it's ready to go. And Stephanie and Aaron Collins from the trust, they'll come down and talk to you as well. And on the tier side, I've got the numbers and data on that for the budget request, and that'll be internal when the department heads get to the budget time, and hopefully we can make it work.
Hopefully. All right, we're going to move on to number 5, update on policy amendments. Dan, I want to just say that you did a really good job with the policy amendments and getting everybody's, all their stuff that they wanted to put in there. our confusion.
Yeah, well, thank you. So those, we took them to the employee council. You guys voted on them. We took them to the civil service, and you guys voted to recommend. It kind of changed, and civil service had the last bite of the apple there, and they made a couple recommendations. For example, which we've even talked about, not making interim appointments mandatory. And then there was one other one I don't recall, but the PTO, I think we need to get finance involved before that goes to the council. So all 12 of them have been at least through both of these commissions. And once we get finance involved with PTO, they're ready for council whenever the mayor's ready.
Fantastic. Yeah, and thank you. You did a really excellent job. Looking with all the input and looking at everybody's needs and the language too.
Anybody have any comments regarding?
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for
having we're down to the comments section. Does anybody have any comments they'd like to make? I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn the employee council meeting.
A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? We are adjourned.